We're glad to be sharing the ministry of Redemption Church with you. Now join us as we receive the Word of God.
Hey everyone, how's everybody doing? God bless everybody. Welcome to Redemption Church. Are you glad that you made it out to church today?
Yeah.
Isn't that good? All right, isn't it an extra blessing? Nobody has to put up with the Dallas Cowboys today. They play tomorrow, but we'll just, Lord help us tomorrow. The Cowboys, they're a piece of work. But hey, in all fun, I just wanted to tell you, it's so good to be with you. My name is Chris Fluitt. I love having you guys in the room, and I love having you guys check us out online on the podcast. However you find us, we pray blessing over you right now in Jesus' name. We are in the good news business. There's a lot of bad news out in the world, but we are in the good news business. We're talking in our series, it's the third week of our series, What's Right With You, Not What's Wrong With You. Last week, we looked at Timmy's report card. Does anybody remember Timmy's report card?
Yeah.
And we decided to shift our focus from the weakness to the strength. Today, I want to talk to you about achieving expert level success. Expert level success. Let's talk about me for a little bit. For years, I thought success was becoming good at everything. I thought if I'm not good at everything, I am not successful. So I read self-help books over and over again. I attended seminars over and over again. I'd go to the YouTube and I'd find every TED talk and I'd be like, I'm not even interested in this field, but I'm going to listen and my goodness, I'm going to be better at it. And I was consumed with trying to be good at everything, always trying to improve at everything. And can I tell you what that was like? It was exhausting. It was not fun. It wore me down. I was burnt out just trying to achieve being excellent at everything. I was spreading myself thin, trying to be a jack of all trades. A jack of all trades is a master of none, the saying says. So I had a light bulb moment. Here's the light bulb moment. I was so busy trying to be decent at everything, I wasn't giving myself the chance to be exceptional at anything. Think about that for a second. I was trying to be decent at everything to the point that I didn't have time to be exceptional at anything. It was like me trying to play every instrument in the orchestra at the same time. I think Bugs Bunny pulled it off in one of those cartoons. But I couldn't pull it off. Instead, perhaps I should think about taking one instrument and mastering that one instrument that I was meant to play. So let's talk about you. Can you relate to any of that? Am I barking up the right tree at all? Yeah, I've been kind of like that. We live in a world that's obsessed with success. Social media bombards us with the highlight reels of people's lives. And we're constantly comparing ourselves. I'm going to say it again. We're constantly comparing ourselves. We ought to stop that. But we keep opening up the Facebook and comparing ourselves to these other video lives that people have. And we're wondering, why aren't we as successful as the next person? They're good at it, we think. They're so good at it. They're like, Pinterest was really guilty of this. Pinterest was everywhere. But all these little YouTube shorts and these little reels on Instagram and stories, whatever they call them, all over the place. These small little videos that people take. And we go, whoa, they are so good at, fill in the blank, cooking. Look how they cook. They're able to cook for their entire family. I'll try to be like that. And then you watch the next video and you're like, whoa, look how good they are at keeping their home and decorating their home. It's like they decorate for every season and they do all this. I'm going to do that. I'm going to go do this. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I still have stuff burning on the oven. Wait, I got to go do this. Oh my gosh, the Halloween stuff is still out. Oh my gosh, we got to get these turkeys out on the lawn. Thanksgiving is coming. And then we something else pulls up and we're like, style and fitness. My goodness, I've got to work on my style and fitness. I'm just not uber cool enough. And I don't even have 6-pack abs. And they have like 12-pack abs. I don't know what I'm going to do. And so I'm working out. I'm lifting. Now I'm taking the turkeys. And I'm bicep curling them, trying to get it all right. And automotive repair comes up. And I'm like, well, you know, if any decent man ought to be able to fix their car, now I'm going to go and I'm going to be an expert at fixing my car. By the way, I need a ride home. Underwater basket weaving. I gotta get that next. On and on and on. These things come up and we're like, well, I'm not good at that. I should be good at that. And there's something in society that says you could be anything you want. And we're like, well, then I have to be everything. Here's a stat. 77% of millennials. That's age 25 to 39, whereabouts. And 83% of Gen Z, that's 16 to 24, thereabouts, feel pressure to reach traditional life milestones earlier than previous generations. Do you see that? So what does that mean? That means, whereas your grandparents, they might have had a house when they were 30, today's generation's like, I'm 22 and I don't have a house yet. What a loser I am, right? That your other generations, in previous times, they had their perfect job, and they had children, and they had a certain lifestyle of a two-car family. And now we have people going, oh my gosh, I'm 18 years old, and I don't have a down payment on a new car. What am I going to do? These are thoughts that are happening at alarming rates. 77%, 83%. This is the thought at work when in society, right here. I have to be good at all the things. I have to accomplish all the things. If I don't, I am unhappy, I'm unfulfilled, and a failure. How do you think that feels? I'll tell you how it feels. It's exhausting. Life has become exhausting for us. But what if I told you there's a different way? The key to success isn't about fixing what's wrong with you, but maximizing what's right with you. That's the key to success. Oh, but Pastor Chris, you didn't mention, you know, a 3-bedroom house with 2 baths. No, I didn't. You didn't mention an electric car, Pastor Chris. Yeah, I didn't. These things are not a part of success. That is, whoever gave you that line of thinking, take that out, right? Okay, success is not becoming better at all the things. Instead, success is becoming an expert. Somebody say expert. At the unique strength God has given you. If you agree, give me an amen today. I agree with you. It's time for us to become experts at being you. It's time for me to become an expert at being Chris Fluitt. It's time for you to become an expert at being Ricky Nolan. It's time for you to become an expert at being you being Nathan Cowper-Smith. I was like trying to get that last name. I was like, oh, there it is. Nathan, you need to be an expert at being you, who God has called you to be. Look at somebody and say, it's time for you to be an expert. It's time for you to be an expert. And that's where the real success is. That is where your victory is. Let's look at a success story from the Bible. This is a story. If you want to have success in your life, you need to know the story of Joseph. If we're to narrow it down, most people know it as a guy with fancy coat and big dreams. He is the son of Jacob, whose name was changed to Israel. He's one of the 12 sons of Israel. And he receives a gift from his dad, which is a coat of many colors, and he receives a gift from God at a young age, spiritual dreams, and one that often is overlooked, administration. Somebody say spiritual dreams and administration. We're going to be talking about that. His gifts, however, did not make him popular with his brothers. In fact, it landed him in a pit, and where they sold him into slavery. So this Joseph guy ends up in a pit. Somebody say pit. God's plan for us is sometimes scary and we just do not get it. How could this wonderful person who loved God, who loved his family, who was going to serve God all of his life, end up in a pit? You know my answer for that? I don't know. I don't know how that happens, but it happens. That life living for God is sometimes uneasy. It's sometimes hectic. It's sometimes not anything but scary. Joseph is sold into slavery, and he ends up being the servant of a man named Potiphar. So he goes from the pit to Potiphar. I want to tell you, he's a slave at this point, but here's the thing. God's gifting is still at work. And Potiphar notices that he doesn't just have anybody living in his house and being a servant in his house and a slave person in his house. He notices that this person has a gifting. And so you know what he does? He puts Joseph in charge of his entire household in Genesis 39 and verse 4. He sees Potiphar sees Joseph and says, "This guy's got some skill. I'm going to put him to work for me." What work was at hand in charge of his entire household? It was administrative gifting. And he managed the entire household for Potiphar. And Potiphar, it says, was really happy. He received a lot of blessing. Why? Because somebody's gift was being used for his benefit. So, happy story, right? Now, that's the end of the story. It gets really bad. Potiphar's wife accuses Joseph of sexual assault. Wrongly, by the way. And he is now thrown into prison. So he's gone from the pit to Potiphar, and now he's in prison. This guy just can't get a break. God's plan for us is sometimes scary, but God's gifting is still at work. The warden of the prison notices, and he puts Joseph in charge of managing the entire prison. That's in Genesis 39 and 22. It says the warden didn't have to do anything because Joseph did it all, and he did it better than he could have. That's the warden. What's going on there? Well, he's in a bad place. Pit, Potiphar, prison. This is really bad. But in the prison, Joseph gets better at his gifts. He went from managing a household, imagine that, to managing an entire prison organization. Is that a big jump? In some ways, you would call that a promotion. He wouldn't call that a promotion. He would say, "Pastor Chris, a word with you. I was in jail." But he has more authority. He is doing more, and he is using his gifts more, even though it is not in an ideal situation. So that's his gifting of administration. What about his gifting of dreams? Let's look at that. He went from having dreams early in his story. He had dreams, and he said, "I dreamt this." He goes from that to now he is interpreting the gifts of others. He interprets in Genesis 40 the dream of the cupbearer and the dream of the baker. He's not just having dreams. Now he is hearing the dreams of others, and he is telling them what they mean spiritually for their life. Well, here's what I want you to get. Please get this. No matter the hardship, his gifting caused Joseph to rise. His gifting made him head of a household. His gifting made him head of a prison. What does that mean? That means that your gifts still work in hard times. If you're going through hard times, I can commiserate with you. We'll have a cup of coffee. We'll talk about it. I'll say stuff like, man, that stinks. And I'll mean it. But I also want to tell you, that does not give you an excuse to give up. You've got giftings, and your giftings are of God. They're beyond repentance, and they're still at work in your life. Oh, man. So you ask, like, this is a hard time. What should I do? Our answer to you is this. Use your gifts. You're like, the economy is rough. I'm worried about inflation, and I don't even know what a tariff is, but I'm terrified of tariffs. What should I do? Here's what you should do. Use your gifts. My new boss hates me. They hate me. They know I'm a Cowboy fan, and they laugh at me incessantly. What should I do? Here's what you should do. You should use your gifts. I don't fit in at school. What should I do? You listen to me. Use your gifts. Use your gifts and become an expert at your gifts. Use your gifts and they will cause you to rise. Mark my words on it. So now he's in a prison, right? We went Pitt, we went Potiphar, we're in prison. What happens next? Pharaoh calls him. I'm just trying to hit the alliteration, right? Pharaoh has a dream. And none of Pharaoh's wise men and magicians can interpret that dream in Genesis 41. And Pharaoh's like really angry about it. I've got this dream. I know I'm supposed to understand it. Someone must have the wisdom. And the cupbearer is standing right there. And he's like, Pharaoh, I know a guy. His name's Joseph. And he's in your prison. And Joseph, they get Joseph. And Joseph is now standing in the palace. And Joseph interprets Pharaoh's dream. Now, I want you to get this. We won't go through all the dream. But it's kind of a complex dream. And Joseph doesn't just give a vague interpretation of the dream. He doesn't say, well, God just wants you to be really happy. Right? He doesn't just say, oh, king, everybody's just jealous of you because you are styling no cap. You be bussing, stuff like that. My kid is looking at me right now. I can't even look at him. All right. He provides a detailed analysis and a strategic plan. From what? From a dream. He hears Pharaoh's dream, and he not only interprets the dream, and he says, here is what you should do in response to the dream. And he gives him a 7-year plan. Yeah. He gives him a plan that changes everything. And this plan is so big. Here's what that plan does. Pharaoh becomes the wealthiest person in the world because of this plan. Pharaoh has more property and land than anyone in the world because of this plan. So Pharaoh is living large because of a guy in a prison who had a gifting. But that, not just Pharaoh, it solves a regional disaster of a famine because the dream had a famine in it. People would die without food and water in a drought. And Joseph took that dream and said, hey, we can solve a future problem. And he does. He solves a regional disaster. Now listen, y'all listen right now. Let me just push on this a little bit. Do regional disasters still happen? What if God used your strength to solve a regional disaster in America or in the world? God's big enough and your strength is large enough. You might not see yourself that way, but you ought to start. God sees you that way. And then, so he solves the problem, saving countless lives, including, this is one of my favorite parts of the entire Bible. he ends up saving the lives of his brothers who threw him in the pit. And they walked up to him and didn't realize it was him, and he feeds them and saves them. Isn't that amazing? All from what? Using his gift. Joseph, by the way, does not return to the prison. He goes and he stays in the palace. He becomes the number two leader behind Pharaoh in the nation of Egypt. What rose him for that? Did he go to college and have a degree? Is that what did that? No, what did that? Nothing against going to college and getting a degree. All he did was use his God gifting. Joseph grows in his gifting. He interprets the dream and he manages the entire nation for Pharaoh. Let's hit it real quick. Joseph grows into an expert. Let's hit the dreams first. Dreams. He dreamed them. That's at the beginning of his story. He just tells his family, I had this dream. Then he goes to interpreting dreams. Now he is not just having the dream. Somebody says, I have this dream. And he receives word from God and tells them, this is what your dream means. And this is what's going to happen in your life. That's a big step up. And then his dreams go to communicating strategy from them. Do you see the increase of his dream? The pit didn't stop him. Potiphar didn't stop him. Prison didn't stop him. All right, now let's look at administration. He manages a house. He manages a prison. He manages a nation. Do you see that growth? What is this? This is expert level success. I'm telling you that anybody in that region who wanted to find an expert looked to Joseph. A man who believed in God, a man who trusted in God, a man that said, I don't know what I'm called to do, but I'm going to just do everything I can to the best of my ability. Jesus taught about this. We looked at it last week in Matthew 25, the parable of the talents. God doesn't just tell the servants to use their talents. He expects them to multiply their talents. He expects them to take their talents and make them larger, more expansive, to reach and help more people. God wants you to have expert level success. Now let's talk about you. What God thinks. What about you? Do you think this? Do you believe this? And if you do believe this, and it's okay if you're like, I'm not sure about this. That's all right if you're not sure about this. I would ask, what does this mean for you? I would maybe think about this question like this. What does that look like for you? What does that look like for you to have your gifting grow to the level of being an expert in that field? You have a gift that is greater than the pit. You have a gift that is greater than the betrayal of Potiphar. You have a gift that is greater than prison. And you have a gift that's beyond a palace. Do you believe that? Don't just get better. I'm just going to get a little better at stuff. Become the expert. Become the go-to person that people go to figure out the questions that they have. Find the unique gifting that you have and invest your life to that singular gift. Don't try to improve at everything. Improve at one thing, your God calling. If you know what you're called to do, that means everything. It was Mark Twain who said this. He said, the two most important days in the lives of a person are the day they're born and the day they decide, with the day they find out what they're called to do, what their purpose in life is. I'm telling you that the moment you find out what you're called to do by God is the most important day. It is a day like any, no other day. I want to tell you today to not be a generalist, but a specialist. A generalist just is good at general things. They cover a large area of things they're good at. No, I want you to hone it down to singular things. I want you to specialize in the gifting that God has given you. It's time to go all in on your unique gifts. And here's how you can start becoming an expert. I'm going to hit these real quick. You don't get them, you come back, listen to it later. Deep dive into your top strengths. Don't just skim the surface, okay? There's strength assessments. We have some in our next steps, but we've talked about some like Strength Finders 2.0 by Don Clifton. He will give you your five top strengths. Dive into those. Deep dive into those. Realize how they work together in your gifting. Learn how your gifts interact with others and how they may interact with other people. And then practice. Intentionally practice. Set aside dedicated time each day to use your strengths. Okay? Do it deliberately. Not by accident. Oh, well, here's this thing. No, you're actually setting aside calendar time. I am going to use these giftings in my life. Seek specialized feedback. Find mentors or coaches who are experts in your specific strengths. Make friends with them. Apply your strengths creatively. Look for unique ways to use your strengths in your daily life and in your relationships. The more you apply them, the more expert you become. And then teach others. Teaching is one of the best ways to deepen your own expertise. Remember, this is not about becoming perfect in every area. It's about becoming extraordinary in the specific areas of your strength. It's about playing your unique role in God's orchestra with unparalleled skill and passion. I want us to imagine for a moment. I'm drawing to a close. Imagine with me a world where everyone was focused on becoming an expert of what they're naturally good at, instead of trying to constantly fix all the things they're not good at. Now imagine what that looks like in your home. Imagine what that might look like in your children. Imagine what that might look like on your job. Imagine what that might look like in your friendships and your relationship. Redemption Church, let's imagine what that would look like in our congregation. Let's imagine that on our dream team and all the various areas we're serving in this church. I want to tell you that we would have less burnout, that we'd have more fulfillment, we'd have greater success, both individually and then also beyond us in a community, a society. I'm going to ask our musicians to come. Now it's time to do something with this. What do you say? Let's go back to Joseph's story. Remember where he ended up? He was in the pit. He was with Potiphar. He was in prison. And he was in the palace. It was not straightforward. It was difficult. You know, I like life to be like direct lines, right? Nope. This story right here is up and down. All the way. In the pit. He's leading a household. He's in prison, leading a nation. I mean, big peaks and valleys in his life, right? It was not straightforward. Give up on one thing really quick. You should never give up on many things, but I'm going to give you one thing you should give up on. You should give up on life being carefree and easy. God's got somebody. You should give up on that. You should give up on life being straightforward. No, there is a lot of two steps forward, one step back. Yet, even in the hardships, even in difficult circumstances, Joseph continued to use and develop his strengths. This reminds me of what Jesus said in Luke 16 and 10. He says these words, "Whoever can be trusted," somebody say trusted, "with very little can also be trusted with much." We'll say it one more time. Read it out loud with me. Whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. Are you trustworthy? We must prove ourselves trustworthy to God. So what does that look like for you? He's given you this gifting. He's given you this calling. And the other people around you don't have it. You have it. So how, what does that look like for you to be trustworthy? How can you be trustworthy with your gifting? How can you be trustworthy with the purpose and the call that God has put in you? If you don't know the answer to that question, in a few moments, you should come forward and pray about that. You should find yourself a place to kneel down and talk one-on-one with God and say, God, I don't even know how to do this. How do I become more trustworthy when it comes to what you've given me? It is in the hardship that giftings are often put on display. If you remove the hardship from Joseph's life, chances are he doesn't rise to be a national leader. Get this? But because he went through hardship and he had giftings that were greater than the hardship, he constantly was on the rise. Oh, can I just say a word to you? Here it is. You're on the rise. You're on your way up. Don't listen right now. I think that is from the Lord right now. You are on the rise. I know you've been down. I know you've struggled. But listen, you are on the rise. Your marriage is on the rise. Your career is on the rise. Your children are on the rise. Redemption Church, we are on the rise. Child of God, you are on the rise. The hardship is not greater than your gifting. You're on the rise. Listen, some of you go, oh, but this doesn't apply to me. I'm so old. I'm so young. I'm so old. It applies to you. Because there is no retirement when it comes to gifting. God is going to help you rise through your gifting. Can you be trustworthy in the hardship to keep working, to keep studying, to keep applying, to keep trying, right? Here's our call to action. Could we all stand all over this place? We're going to stand. They're going to sing in a few moments, over the next few moments, and then in the days to come, I want you to come back to this call to action. Number one, discover and embrace your strengths. You got to do that. If you're still, it's week three, and you're like, I don't know what my strengths are. You got to get serious about this. You got to pray. And here's the next thing. Ask for help. Ask for help. If you really don't know what your giftings are, you need to ask somebody that really cares about you. I care about you. Ask me. Ask me. I want to talk to you about it. I want to pray with you about it. Discover and embrace. Number two, commit to daily practice. Commit to practicing one gift every day this week. Pause for 1 second. I want to tell y'all something that's been happening in our house. If it hasn't happened to you yet, one of my children is liable to walk up to you with their phone and they're about to say, hey, will you see this animation I made? And there's this animation they made and they sync it to music and there's funny faces and there's all this moving around video stuff. And sometimes it's like 10 seconds, 20 seconds. It's just a short little thing. Do you know what they're doing? They're practicing a gifting. Now, here's what you don't do. Because you don't understand the gifting and how it's to be utilized, you never put it down. You never tear down someone's gifting. Oh, that's just some stupid kid stuff. No, that's somebody's gifting. You have no idea. In the social media age, do you think it might be valuable to know how to do animation and video stuff? Listen, people will listen to a 20-second animation video a lot more than they'll listen to my 30-minute sermon. Kids, help me with animation videos. Gosh. Point one, here's a 20-second video. Like, We're looking in the future. That's the future of the world right there. What is that? Kids, my kids, listen, and everybody in here, commit to practicing your gifting every day. But here's the thing. Limit it to one right now. Back to one. What's the one thing you get so much joy doing? What's the one thing you feel so alive when you're doing it? You lose track of time when you're doing it. Find that one thing. Practice it. Practice it. Practice it. Just be warned. You're going to see animation videos. After service and in the future of Redemption Church by Jesus' name. Number three, engage in community. There is still time to join a small group or ministry that aligns with your strengths. And that's a great place to practice. If you feel like you have a gift to communicate, there are so many places you could use that in your church. But you have to connect with the community to do that, right? So pray with someone today about achieving expert success. Engage, that's part of community. When we pray at the end, that's community. When somebody comes up and say, hey, I've got stuff, I just don't even know what to do. That's community when we pray with them, when we pray together. When someone prays for you, when you pray for others, that is community. And let's be that community that we can engage together and become stronger together, all right? These altars are open. They're going to sing and worship. We're going to reach out to God, and we're going to grow in a strength that's stronger than pits and prisons. Father, in Jesus' name, let's reach out to the Lord tonight. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray for every person watching and listening online. I pray, Lord, that you would speak to us. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would minister to us, God, in Jesus' name. Pray for my friends, God, that they would know their strengths, God, that they would practice them, God, that they would not let hardships derail them, but God, Lord, they would seek to use their giftings in a trustworthy manner, God. Use us in that place, God. In Jesus' name, come on, let's reach out to the Lord. Let's worship Him in this place. Let's be closer to Him in the next few moments than we started. In Jesus' name.
For more information about Redemption, look us up online at redemptionplano.com. We want to hear more from you. So be sure to connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, or even our anonymous text line at 469-651-1178. Thanks for joining us, and have a blessed day.